It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. As part of our ongoing conversations about housing insecurity in Wisconsin, we learn how the mayors of Wisconsin's biggest cities, Milwaukee and Madison, are prioritizing this issue. And we begin this discussion with the mayor of Madison as we explore how communities across the state address homelessness. Call in with a question. Share your thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Kate. It's good to be here.
The city of Madison is partnering with the Salvation Army of Dane County on a $50 million project to support families experiencing homelessness. How does the project plan to serve the Madison community?
Well, actually, Kate, we, during the pandemic, really transformed the way that we are approaching homelessness here in Madison. Previously, and I'm very grateful to them, we had been essentially warehousing homeless people in church basements. And in the pandemic, that became completely untenable. So we are shifting to a situation where we will have purpose-built shelters that will serve people experiencing homelessness in our community. And we're actually building two of them. So one is the Salvation Army shelter, which you referenced, which will serve about 35 families, have some about maybe 20 additional rooms for overnight emergency shelter, and house up to 150 women experiencing homelessness in our community. At the same time, we're also moving forward with our partner Porchlight to construct a purpose-built shelter that will primarily serve single men in our community. And both of these, I think, are going to be a real improvement on the current situation. And we're also, we also have a temporary family shelter, and we are trying to build more low-income housing or low-cost housing to help folks move out of homelessness. But there's two really significant shelter projects underway right now.
When you say purpose-built shelter, what do you mean by that? What does the word purpose mean?
Well, I think the distinction is that homeless shelters in many cities, including Madison, have been repurposed buildings. So, for example, the current women and family shelter that's operated by the Salvation Army is a, it used to be a school. Mm-hmm. And so it obviously wasn't built to be a shelter. They have made it work. It's not designed with shelter in mind. It's not designed through a trauma-informed lens. It doesn't have all of the spaces and services that you would want if you were building a shelter from scratch. So when I say purpose-built, I mean that the building is designed to provide shelter to folks who need it, and it's not retrofitted from something else.
In the situation with the Salvation Army, which is a Christian charity, how do you view public-private partnerships to solve problems related to housing insecurity in your city?
I think public-private partnerships have been essential in Madison and, frankly, I think in most cities. Most cities don't run or operate their own shelters or homeless services. All the cities I'm aware of contract that service out or help to pay a private provider to provide that service. So here in Madison, historically, the Salvation Army has provided shelter services for women and families, and Porchlight has provided shelter services for single men. In addition, Catholic Charities has partnered with the city and county on the Beacon Day Services Center, which is not a shelter, but provides services during the day to people experiencing homelessness. So we really couldn't do this work without partnerships. Mm. The city isn't equipped to run these shelters ourselves, nor do we pay the full budget for them. So it really does require the entire community coming together to take care of those who are most in need.
We're talking with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway about efforts to address housing insecurity in Madison and the greater area. You can join in with your questions and comments at 800-642-1234. Mayor, you bring up Porch Light and the Beacon. Madison has day shelters and emergency overnight shelters. And the organizers of the Porch Light shelter and the Beacon say more people are experiencing homelessness. So how is the city government supporting homeless shelters? What is the work that is underway?
Well, we are taking the lead on the funding for the new shelter that will serve primarily serve single men and will be operated by Porch Light. We've secured funding from every level of government for that and are working to find a path towards sustainable operating funding in the future, which, again, will not be solely from government. It will need to involve the private sector as well. But I think that the ultimate answer here, Kate, is to keep people from being forced into homelessness. Mm. And that leads us back to the question of housing security and providing enough affordable housing in our community. Over the first 4 years that I was mayor, we more than doubled the affordable housing fund here in Madison, and we're projecting over the next 6 years to increase it by another 60%. And that's important because it does require government participation to produce affordable housing in almost every case. So we've been very successful at leveraging our funding to then leverage state and federal funding, often county funding as well, to create affordable housing in our community. But we really do need to create more housing that is affordable to folks at the lowest end of the income spectrum so that they don't get pushed into homelessness. And, you know, again, prevention is really the key here to keeping our population of folks experiencing homelessness smaller and ideally shrinking, right? We want people to be moving into housing out of homelessness.
And we're going to talk more about affordable housing and what is on the horizon. Let's take a call here. Paul in Madison. Paul, go ahead.
Hi there. I work with a tenant advocacy group here in town. And I used to, I knew about Porch Light and I thought it was great what they were doing. But we've started getting an influx of reports that they've got some really bad conditions in their units, like roaches, mice, with no real repairs being done. They call the police on their tenants and get them end up in jail. And they get a lot of our city funds. So I was just wondering if there would be like any interest in performing an audit on the organization to see where all this money is actually going, if it's not going to the units.
Mayor Rhodes Conway, go ahead.
Well, I'm not sure what you're referring to, because the contracts we have with Porch Light are to operate the homeless shelter, not to operate housing units. So we do keep very close tabs on the funds that we spend to operate the shelters, and staff are regularly out there. And we work very closely with frankly, all of the providers that work in the continuum of care to work on homelessness in this community. But we also, of course, have a full building inspection department whose job it is to keep track of the quality of housing in Madison. And so anyone who has any bad experience in a housing situation should absolutely call building inspection and have them come out and make sure that where they're living is actually habitable. We also, by the way, have protections for folks against being retaliated by their landlords if they do call building inspections.
I just want to jump in here. I recently visited Porch Light Men's Emergency Shelter in Madison. I spoke with the drop-in manager, Ferris, who said the facility may see 300 people in one night, even though the building has a capacity for 150 people. Here's Ferris.
We'll have to discuss with the city whether we'll have to set a cap limit. But even if we set a cap limit, during wintertime especially, still going to let anyone in and just make room whenever we can.
What are your thoughts on setting capacity limits at shelters during winter?
Well, historically in Madison, as you heard in the clip, we have not set capacity limits, particularly on the coldest days. We've provided shelter to anyone who needs it. And, you know, as you pointed out earlier, we do have growing numbers of people experiencing homelessness in our community and, frankly, across the country. Which presents a significant challenge, I think, for every city. And again, that's something that we're trying to address both by providing purpose-built shelter which will have more capacity than any shelter in Madison has ever had, but also by providing housing so that we can both prevent people from becoming homeless in the first place, but also we can help folks who are ready to move out of homelessness to secure permanent housing.
Satya Rhodes Conway, mayor of Madison, as we discuss efforts to reduce homelessness in the capital city. Call in to field a question. You can share your perspective at any point, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine homelessness and housing inequality in Madison with Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway as organizations prepare for winter cold and an increased need for sheltering. Call in with a question. Share what's on your mind. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Mayor, turning to rent, fair market rent prices in Madison are very high compared to the national average. That's according to an analysis by rentdata.org, looking at figures from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, HUD. How are you working to keep rent affordable in Madison?
Because of limitations under state law, there's no direct influence that city government can have on rent prices. So our sole tool to moderate increases in rent is to incentivize the production of more housing. As we produce more rental units, there's a shift away from renters competing for units to landlords competing for tenants, which should moderate rent prices. But for, I would venture, a decade, if not more, Madison has underproduced housing compared to our population growth. So we have a deficit of somewhere between 3,000 and 4,000 rental units, and we need to be building about 2,000 units of housing every year to just keep up with our population growth. So the problem that we're experiencing now is because of years of inaction before I came into office. When I came into office, we prioritized housing construction right from the get-go. And again, we've been investing a significant amount of money in creating affordable housing. Since the creation of the Affordable Housing Fund, which was in 2015, we have produced over 1,400 units of affordable housing. We have about 750 more under construction or in the planning and design stage. Of course, there's other housing being built without city support, but that's just what our housing fund has supported. So we're making progress, but there's a long way to go.
State lawmakers this year approved $100 million in funding for loans to support converting vacant commercial buildings into workforce or senior housing units. Does Madison plan to encourage developers to apply for this loan program?
We certainly are interested in any source of funding that can help create housing in our community. I think that there's a variability in how difficult it is to convert commercial buildings to housing. Certainly happy that there is money available at the state level and welcome that support. And we certainly are looking forward to any proposals that might come forward under that program. I think some commercial buildings are going to be easier than others to convert to housing. But frankly, we need a lot of housing here in Madison. Mm-hmm. Our population is now 286,000, which represents significant growth. So we really do need to produce really all sorts of housing, but particularly affordable housing.
You mentioned building being the key tool here, but what about zoning? What could be done to add multifamily housing? How is Madison looking at zoning changes?
Well, Madison, under my administration, has made several significant changes to zoning that will allow the production of more housing by right and allow more density of housing in certain areas of town. And when I say we need to produce housing, that's exactly what I mean. We need to, at the local government level, make it easier to build housing. And that can be through zoning, it can be through planning, it can be through our land use approval process, it can be through what we fund and the various pots of money we can use to fund housing. It can be through local government itself producing housing through our community development authority. It can be through supporting the rehab of existing affordable housing. All of these are things that we're doing.
What about landlords? What is their role in addressing housing insecurity for tenants who face the possibility of eviction? What policies and programs speak to this?
Well, unfortunately, some years ago, the state legislature completely preempted all of Madison's tenant protections. We had the most robust tenant protections in the state, and they were stripped away by the state legislature. So we don't have much ability to promote policies or to regulate landlords with respect to tenant protections. And we rely basically on the goodness of their hearts to not evict people and to treat people humanely, which obviously is not something that you can always rely on. So I do think that landlords ought to be generous and work with tenants to try and resolve any differences or financial issues before they move to eviction. But unfortunately, that doesn't always happen.
We're examining the risks of homelessness with Madison Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway. You can join in with your questions along the way. Share your comments, 800-642-1234. Mayor, last month, one of our producers visited the Beacon Day Center in Madison and had an emotional conversation with Gwen. Gwen had said they applied for the Housing Choice Voucher program. They weren't accepted. Here's Gwen talking about their financial challenges.
My credit's bad, thanks to my sister. And then I had a situation with my daughter. And if I start crying, don't mind me. Because I've been hurt both ways. I can't even get credit. I can't even get credit cards. I'm trying to help my boyfriend out, but he's not finding a job. And I am the only one with an income. And my $997 a month does not cut it for two people.
$997 a month for two people. Gwen talked about struggling to access government assistance, some assistance only available by lottery. What resources does Madison provide people to help them applying for housing assistance?
Well, here in Madison, we have a whole continuum of care that is designed to help people exit homelessness and to access the resources that they need to do so. But I'm not going to lie, there are not sufficient resources in our community or frankly anywhere in this country. And the vouchers that you refer to, those are federal vouchers. That's something that the federal government could do today, is increase the availability of housing vouchers and the funding that comes through our local communities to support people who are housing insecure. But for decades, there has been insufficient funding coming from the federal government to support people who are housing insecure or experiencing homelessness. It's one of the least funded areas from the federal government. And it's very, very frustrating when you hear stories like that. I will say, Kate, the other factor in this, of course, is the income side. And, you know, as you know, the minimum wage in Wisconsin and across the country hasn't gone up in a very long time. Mm-hmm. Another way to address housing insecurity is to raise the minimum wage, to raise wages across the board, and give people more financial security so they can afford housing.
Tomas in Madison wonders, does the community land trust model hold any possibility for addressing this issue?
That's a great question. I'm a big fan of community land trust in general, and we do have a land trust here in Madison. But the land trust model is really designed for people who are moving into ownership of housing, not for people who are moving out of homelessness. And it's a great solution for affordable ownership, and I would love to see it grow here in Madison. But it's probably not the best fit for addressing homelessness.
In our last moments together, do you feel Madison is on track with building enough affordable housing based on the rate of growth of the city?
We are certainly doing our best to produce as much housing as we can to dig out of the deficit that we were, that we inherited, and to keep up with population growth. And, you know, it is frustrating because often new housing developments are opposed by neighbors, and that makes it more difficult to create housing. But we certainly are doing what we can to make it easier from the local government point of view, and to provide funds for affordable housing. I'm confident that we can get there.
Mayor, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
Satya Rhodes Conway, mayor of Madison. We continue this conversation ahead on housing insecurity with Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson. Call in at any point, 800-642-1234. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.